It was Halloween night, 2011. I'm 15 years old. I'm out trick-or-treating dressed as, you guessed it, Danny Zuko from Grease. The neighborhood was dark, the sun long gone, but the street filled with more shadows from the depth of trees around us. The neighborhood was at the edge of the Wakiva Springs woods, a spot in Seminole County that is a hotspot for Florida black bear activity. The night was settling in heavy and it was time to go home. When my ride came to pick us up, we were the only people on the street. Through the beams of the car's headlights, we saw a strange shadow, a dog but larger, with rounded shoulders and a low head. It was in the driveway of a nearby home, not 15 feet from where I was just standing. The adult who came to pick us up turned on her high beams, a sunburst of illumination filling the street. In the spotlight, the bear revealed itself, galloping in fear as the car pulled into the driveway in pursuit. The driver rolled down her window and shouted at the bear, telling it to go away, as if the bear could understand enough to heed her warning. The bear understood enough. It was time to go. It disappeared into the tree line, gone. I'm sure I'd seen a Florida black bear before then, though I don't remember when. That memory stands out as the first, a frightened bear fleeing from an overly cautious neighbor. I'd see them again that year, in an adjacent neighborhood. This time they were further away, silhouettes in a streetlight a half mile away. Enough to catch your eye, but never enough to make you wonder what to do next, not in fear. But it was very clear to my teenage mind that the bears were close, just beyond the line of trees, out of sight. I'd hear stories from peers in those neighborhoods near the forest. A bear eating the fish in the outdoor pond, a bear putting its paws on the glass door, a bear knocking over a trash can just to see what was inside. Never anything dangerous, but close enough to raise your own natural anxieties at a big hairy beast with its own sharp teeth. It would be years before I got to know the bears better.
This is Nick D'Alessandro in the parking lot of the Juniper Springs Recreation Park, and I haven't seen a bear. I have not seen a bear.
That is me in September of 2018, my first ever episode of this show where I recorded anywhere besides my bedroom at the time. Back then, I actually brought my entire microphone and laptop set up to record audio in the woods. Apparently I forgot that handheld microphones existed. Anyway, it was really the episode that made me realize I could make that kind of an episode, and it was because I was looking for black bears. I spent all day roaming the corridors of the Ocala National Forest, one of the natural habitats of the Florida black bear. I drove along major roadways, slipped into protected pockets of land, wandered down trails into deep wood, and even took my tiny old sedan bouncing down an off-road trail, which was a huge mistake. All of that just to get closer, even a little bit, to a black bear. I saw one, I think, at the end of the day, in my rearview mirror. It ran through the brush away from me, a dark figure terrified of my presence, looking to get as far away from me as quickly as possible. In that moment, the old adage I had been taught as a child came true. He was definitely more afraid of me than I was of him. Since then, I've longed to bump into a bear again, at a distance. Maybe we share a surprised glance, then we move on our way. As I told you in an earlier episode, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, or FWC, they have reported only 39 attacks between black bears and people since 2006, according to a Click Orlando article. The likelihood of a problem between me and a bear is low. One should always be cautious with wild animals, no matter what, but the black bear has never been a concern of mine in the woods. My only concern in the woods is other people. Since that day in the Ocala National Forest, I've had a fascination with the black bears and the tenuous relationship between us and them in Florida. According to FWC, there are just over 4,000 black bears in the state of Florida. 4,000. That's it. And as our land is being developed further and more spaces for the bears to live in dwindles, their proximity to us is getting closer and closer. A bill passed by the Florida State Legislature this year is tangling with that very fear, the fear of the beast just out of sight. When I visited Tallahassee for my visit with Representative Anna V. Escamani in January, which you have heard for the last 2 weeks, I sat in on a committee discussing the bill. It was passed by that committee, much to the chagrin of the public, who overwhelmingly showed up to speak out against the bill for 90 minutes. When I talked to members of the public after, I caught up with members of a nonprofit called Bear Warriors United. They were furious, passionate, vocal, and ready for whatever is next. After the bill was passed through the legislature, it now, at the time of this recording, sits on the desk of Governor Ron DeSantis, waiting to get signed. Whatever happens next is still up in the air. but the bill itself, its context, its reasoning, and its complexities, I laid those out in a long, sweeping conversation with two folks representing Bear Warriors United. We dove into black bears, trash cans, and our state government. And if the bill becomes law, they are ready for the fight to come. I'm Nick D'Alessandro, and this is Wait 5 Minutes, a podcast about Florida by a Floridian. This week, the Black Bear Bill. How the bill came to be, what it entails, and what these bear warriors are planning to do next. I must warn you before we go forward, this is a bill concerning the hunting and killing of bears. The details are not gory, but often in our conversation, we are talking about incidents of guns or other sorts of violence being used to harm a black bear. That level of violence can be troubling to discuss. If that is too much for you, I'd recommend looking into the bill itself, listening to what you're comfortable with in this episode, and skipping the parts that you are not prepared for, because the threat to these bears is very present, and the legality of the violence is exactly what this conversation is all about. So let's get into it. Let's meet our guests. They are Katrina Shaddix, the founder of Bear Warriors United, and Leslie Blackner, general counsel for Bear Warriors United. You'll be hearing mostly from Katrina today, though Leslie will have lots of important commentary about the laws concerning this bill. Katrina founded the Bear Warriors United nonprofit in the first place, and she's very passionate about this topic. I'm going to be filling in some context on the things that she says, but Katrina is going to be the one detailing this bill and the complaints she and her peers have lodged against it. She tells me how her nonprofit was founded. It has to do with trash.
I went to an Orange County Commissioner meeting to support a bear trash ordinance where the county was supposed to pass an ordinance that would give some enforcement to making people secure their trash so they would stop feeding the bears garbage.
Securing trash, as Katrina is about to say, is one of the most essential ways to keep bears out of suburban spaces, away from our homes. Their keen sense of smell draws them to food waste in trash cans, and, quote, bears will dine on a wide variety of edible items, end quote. The problem is it becoming a pattern. You don't want bears to come back again and again in search of food from trash cans. Quote, research has indicated access to garbage may cause bears to associate people with food, which puts both people and bears at risk, end quote. Bears start relying on us to provide their food, which makes them more comfortable around humans, and soon the interactions are skyrocketing. So protecting trash from the bears is essential, especially in places bordering black bear ecosystems. Katrina tells me that the concept of securing trash is what brought her together with the FWC. She was wary of them at first because there had been a black bear hunt in 2015. 295 bears were killed, and it was extremely controversial, but eventually they were able to form a partnership.
And one of the bear biologists came over and said, hey, I know we're not on good terms, because at this point I was bitter enemies with the FWC because they had had the bear hunt. And she said, but I want you to do a ride-along with us so you can see what happens when we get calls about people complaining about bears being in their trash. And I said, okay. So I went on a ride-along, and we went to a house in Sanford, and the woman had called and complained about a mother bear bringing her baby bear into her yard every day. She would make the baby bear go up in the tree for safety, and the mama bear would root through the woman's garage. And the woman's garage, her garage door was broken up, and there was so much junk in it, the bear had to climb over 3 feet of piled junk to get to a broken refrigerator in the back. And the woman's like, well, I want you to kill the bears. And the bear biologist for FWC said, I'm not going to do that because you have 7 attractants that I can fine you for right now. You're going to fix these attractants, and we're going to come back in 3 days, and if you haven't removed the bear attractants, we're going to issue a fine. So the woman said, well, I'll kill the bear myself. And then the bear biologist said, and you will go to jail.
Two things here I want to talk about. Black bear attractants and criminal punishment for harming black bears. The U.S. Forest Service lists the following items as attractants to bears. Quote, food, beverages, cooking grease, toothpaste, toiletries, soap, game meat, pet food, livestock feed, and garbage, end quote. Cooking grease. Ugh. Anyway, as for criminal justice when it comes to bears, the bear rule from FWC states that it is, quote, unlawful to injure or kill bears without prior authorization from the commission, end quote. It's that authorization that is key to this. What exactly authorizes a citizen to injure or kill a bear? Now, obviously, what we're talking about is if you have a hunting license, right? If bears are allowed to be hunted, which they are not, but if they do a bear hunt, which they have done in the past, that would authorize a hunter to be allowed to do such a thing. But the legality of shooting a bear now, that's really the conversation here, because the punishment for breaking the bear rule per this website is, quote, fines up to $1,000 and or up to 1 year in jail and or the loss of recreational licenses for 3 years for a first offense, end quote. That recreational license being a hunting license, for example. So Katrina isn't exaggerating. Hunting a bear like this, it could have some real ramifications. They helped protect that bear back in 2015, but for Katrina, working with FWC on this, it brought together the problem that FWC was having with a solution. Securing trash was a problem that needed an answer. The FWC representative she was working with said,
"What you and your friends need to do if you really want to save bears is to help us secure trash cans." She goes, "Right now we are scheduled to kill two bears in a Lake County elderly neighborhood because they go into the trash and the elderly residents are very scared of the bears." And she said, "But we can retrofit them with these straps." And I'm like, "Okay, how do we do that?" She goes, "If you get the volunteers, I'll get the straps and we can retrofit these trash cans and secure the trash and then we don't have to kill the bears." I said, "Okay." So 2 days later, I called her. I'm like, "I have 60 volunteers ready to secure the trash cans." And she goes, "Well, I have bad news. The FWC isn't going to give me the money to buy the material to make the straps." And I go, "Give me just a couple days." And so I did a GoFundMe and raised about $2,000 in 48 hours for the material. And we made the straps. We went and had an event at this neighborhood. We retrofit every single trash can. There were 60. With our straps that we handmade, and the news was there, FWC was there, and that began our partnership with knowing that securing trash is the number one way to save bears, and it's the number one way to reduce bear attractants. And from that day, that's when Leslie said, "Katrina, you need to form your own nonprofit organization so we can do more of this." So we did, and that's how it got started. And our main job has been to, we've given out over 28,000 handmade bear straps to Floridians to help secure trash. And we have brought Seminole County bear encounters. We used to be number one on the list, and now we're number seven.
This is from the Orlando Sentinel. Quote, "As recently as 5 years ago, Seminole ranked as the top county in Florida for human-bear interactions. Today, it ranks seventh, with 344 calls last year." End quote. A drastic improvement, and bear straps are a huge part of that. By sealing these trash cans, it just means that the bears cannot access that delicious garbage inside. And it is proven to work.
So the efficacy of the straps is they work. We put four straps on the trash cans, two on the sides, two on the front. They have been tested with bears in the wild and bears in the zoo. And it's approved by the FWC. So the efficacy can be proven by, take Seminole County, for example. We were number one on the list for most bear calls and most bears in the trash calls. And now we're number seven, behind six other counties that don't put the effort into securing their trash. So it's effective, it's inexpensive. Our straps are inexpensive, the least expensive way, because they're free. We give these out free.
The reason I tell you all this is because you need to understand. Science and practice and study have revealed that a way to keep the black bears away from human spaces to make sure they are not taught to associate us with food is by securing trash. Then there wouldn't be a need for people to have to defend themselves, and this bill wouldn't need to exist at all. In much of the public comment about the bill, the use of these bear straps was brought up. So, let's talk about the bill. House Bill 87, Taking of Bears. I won't read you the full text, but I recommend that you go look it up. It's very short, a page and a half. The summary is, quote, "providing for the taking of bears without certain penalties under specified conditions, requiring the disposal of such bears by the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, prohibiting certain possession, sale, and disposal of such bears or their parts, etc." End quote. all of that is important. All of that is what we're going to talk about right now. Because I mean, it's, I'll tell you this, I wrote this episode and then I read back that summary just now as I'm reading it to you. And I'm like, the specified conditions, as mentioned, is one thing. The FWC's presence in this bill is another thing. And the possession, sale, and disposal of such bears, prohibiting certain possession, sale, and disposal of such bears, all of that is important. All of that is relevant, because what we're talking about is whether or not you are in a position to kill the bear, whether or not you find yourself in danger, that's part of it. If the FWC is going to be disposing of the bears, in fact, the FWC's existence could potentially prevent this bill from becoming law. And thirdly, the possession, sale, and disposal of bears is related to poaching. So let's get into these topics. Okay. In the bill, it provides that you won't be punished for harming or killing a black bear if, quote, the person reasonably believed that his or her action was necessary to avoid an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury to himself or herself or to another, end quote, as well as pets or even damage to their, quote unquote, dwelling. It also specifies that you won't be prosecuted as long as you did not, quote, lure the bear with food or attractants for an illegal purpose, including but not limited to training dogs to hunt bears, end quote. More on that in a moment. You also need to have not intentionally put yourself in that situation, and you have to notify FWC within 24 hours. Then the bear must be taken care of by the FWC. It's a short bill, like I said, just a page and a half, but a lot of implications in just that page and a half.
For the audience, can you talk a little bit about the bill itself and what its propositions are in its current form as best as you can?
Yeah, to simplify it, it will allow people to kill bears 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, without getting permission or permits from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, which is the FWC. The FWC has the authority to manage bears, not all of us.
The Florida State Constitution does indeed dictate the FWC is the organization that needs to make decisions on how to manage the state's wildlife. They'll talk about this more in a moment, but part of their legal challenge is that by the legislature doing this, they are superseding the FWC's power.
So that's how this bill is unconstitutional. It usurps, it takes that power away from the FWC to manage bears in a way that is the best way to manage them scientifically. I mean, the best way to manage bears is secure your trash. They're making this way more difficult than it has to be. And this bill is just, I mean, it's unconscionable that it got this far. Here's Leslie.
Well, also the bill is really redundant, because state law already allows you to kill a bear in self-defense if you legitimately have, you know, a fear for your life. But this bill says if you're afraid, you can kill a bear. This bill is overkill, really. It's a bill in search of a problem that doesn't exist. You already have a right to defend yourself against a black bear in the very unusual event that there was some sort of confrontation between you and a black bear.
You heard me say this a lot. Black bears are very much not a threat. The idea that there's some vicious animal is just not factual. I found the video feed of the infrastructure meeting that I attended on January 30th, and in that committee, the bill's sponsor, Representative Jason Shove, he says that this bill is not about shy, timid bears. He's referring to what he describes as a more dangerous sort of Florida black bear. These are Representative Jason Shove's exact words from that committee. Quote, "We're talking about the ones that are on crack, and they break your door down, and they're standing in your living room growling and tearing your house apart," end quote. Again, I don't know where the representative is getting this characterization of black bears. Yes, bears are interacting with people. They can be dangerous. They have hurt people. But breaking into your home, growling, and tearing your house apart, it is perhaps a gross characterization of what is mostly a fairly docile animal. I'm not saying bear attacks can't or don't happen. They can, and they do. But implying black bears are this, frankly, cartoonishly violent, it's just inaccurate to the science. But on top of that inaccurate representation of this bear, one of the real problems is what Leslie Blackner said. This bill ends up being a redundancy if it becomes law.
But you're saying that this bill is a redundancy. What is the law currently about that? I mean, if you're saying a person like this can shoot these bullets in defense of himself against what he alleges to be a bear that he finds to be dangerous, what is that law that allows him to do such a thing?
The common law allows the right of self-defense. Mm-hmm. You have a right to defend yourself or your children or somebody you're with against an attack. We don't need a statute around that. It's been in the common law since the English established a common law legal system. So it's very redundant. FWC has protocols for dealing with people who shoot bears, ostensibly in self-defense. They do a little investigation, and 99% of the time, nothing happens. Now, why a few extremists felt it necessary to bring this bill into the legislature is just beyond me, especially in light of the fact that this bill, it's not a law yet, this bill is unquestionably a violation of the Florida Constitution. The Florida Constitution sets forth the various powers of the various arms of government, including FWC, which is a constitutional agency. It has a lot of independence compared to other state agencies. And the Florida Constitution says that FWC regulates wildlife. That includes the killing of wildlife. So for the Florida legislature to adopt a law saying when and how you can kill a particular species that's under the jurisdiction of FWC is a violation of this constitutional provision. And indeed, you know, I sent you that memo, right?
Yeah.
After the memo, Katrina was talking to some guy who's a reptile biologist who told her about a case that was filed 4 years ago when the Florida legislature adopted legislation governing and regulating certain snake species, right?
Right.
And in that case, the herpetologist went to court and claimed that the Florida legislature was violating the Florida Constitution because regulation of how you kill snakes and how you regulate snakes is totally within the authority of the FWC. So, and they won that case immediately.
So there's legal precedent for the memo.
Legal precedent. That's exactly correct. There's legal precedent, and we reiterated that point multiple times to these various committees that we appeared before, and it just went over like a lead balloon. I don't think these legislators really care what the law is.
So there's a lot running against this bill. There's alternatives to using this sort of violence in the form of garbage straps. There's legal precedent that proves that its passage is counter to our state constitution. There's the fact that the bill in and of itself is a bit of a redundancy. But one of the big things that the bill's sponsor spoke on, and one of the more complicated elements, is firsthand accounts. During the committee, Representative Schoaf, he tells a story. If you want to hear it, I've included the video of the committee. He tells the story at 18 minutes and 11 seconds. He says another representative brought him a story from Representative Dana Trabulsi, who represents parts of St. Lucie County. The story goes that there was a firefighter in that area who went out to his carport and discovered the presence of a black bear. He had a pistol above the fridge, and he shot the bear. Schoaf says, quote, he was arrested, and it took him a year and a half to clear his name, end quote. I asked Katrina about this, and she says that she can't find any evidence to back up the existence of this story. I did some research. I looked for firefighter, black bear, St. Lucie, any of these stories that could connect to this. I can't seem to find anything. Katrina couldn't seem to find anything. And that doesn't mean that this didn't happen. There's just little evidence of it in my research or Katrina's. I will keep searching. But the problem with the firsthand accounts is that they will never be a complete picture. Later on, Katrina tells me that the police in Franklin County, one of the counties Jason Schoaf represents, the police say that there are thousands of bears in their county. There are only 4,000 bears in our state, period. It's obviously conjecture, but this is a county that Katrina has visited herself. She has gone looking for the bear straps that could keep the bears away, and she says that they aren't there. Reality versus the narrative. We have firsthand accounts. These things conflict with each other, especially when we're trying to prove a point. So when Representative Schoaf comes up and says, there's these people that are facing legal ramifications from shooting the bear, and Katrina is coming up and saying, I haven't seen any bear straps in my research in Franklin County. All of these things are a part of a stew of information, and they interact with each other. And it is a problem with debates over these bills. You have numbers and facts. You have the amount of attacks between black bears. You have scientists reporting on the behavior of these black bears. We're talking about firsthand accounts, and those can be really tricky when we're talking about passing a bill. We're talking about speaking subjectively about something that could become a law. That is where we get into these really tough gray areas about what exactly we are using to decide on making these into laws. You know what I mean? But people defending themselves against black bears, that's not the chief concern of the Bear Warriors United. As Leslie said, there are already laws protecting people with a right to defend themselves. Their real concern is a threat that is far more dangerous to the bear's continuing survival. Poachers, illegal hunters.
There was 9 of them. They had a bear poaching ring here in Florida. They would take people's hunting dogs, and they claimed to be dog trainers. It was a kennel. And they would let dogs chase bears up a tree. They would shoot the bear while the bear was in the tree. When the bear fell down to the ground, injured and screaming, they would let the dogs maul the bear to death. And they were standing around laughing, drinking beer, videotaping it, and stupid enough to put it on social media. I actually reported that. It took them, FWC, a year to do an undercover investigation. They ended up arresting 9 people. Those people were in big trouble for violating the RICO Act because they were conducting business across state lines. They were doing this to bears, I think, in Wisconsin and also out west, as well as in Florida and Ocala. And a couple of them rolled over on their fellow poachers, but they are ended up in jail.
If you're like me, you grew up watching Animal Planet, and you probably heard a lot about poaching. Wild animals across the world are in danger of being illegally hunted. It seemed like a distant problem to my world, like one that only happened to, like, the elephants and tigers in Africa or Asia, not to animals in my own backyard. It's a naivety that I have held this entire time about this. If this is news to you, you're not alone. Our black bears are victims of poaching.
Absolutely. And from day one, I've been calling this the Bear Poacher's Dream Bill, because they had mentioned a couple times they want to make it to where people don't have to worry about the game warden, I think they called him, the FWC law enforcement, being judge and jury out in the field if they shoot a bear. That is so indicative of poachers right there. But what's going on in Florida is that we have poachers. They have radio police scanners, so they know when FWC and law enforcement is going to be in the area. There are poaching rings in the Ocala National Forest, as well as in the Appalachian National Forest. And that is in Jason Schoaf's district. And
The Apalachicola National Forest?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
I will be looking more into this because it's just a crazy story. That there is this organized of a poaching network in Florida for our bears, it is heartbreaking to hear. Katrina tells me that the bears are poached for their gallbladders, specifically. The bile of those bladders have been used for medicine. I found an article in the National Library of Medicine titled, quote, Bear Bile, Dilemma of Traditional Medicinal Use and Animal Protection, end quote. The article says that the gallbladder is used in, quote, traditional Chinese medicine, end quote. In the 80s, quote, bear farming was established in China to extract bear bile from living bears, end quote. This is labeled in this article as, quote, extremely inhumane and many bears died of illness such as chronic infections and liver cancer, end quote. I will include that article for you to read. I will also include this article from 2020 discussing a bill that Katrina worked on that increased penalties for bear poachers. They expound on this issue. It was published from Florida Politics by Scott Powers in January of 2020. They say, quote, there is an international market, particularly in certain Asian countries such as China, for bear bile as folk medicine, end quote. The Associated Press says the same thing in an article from June of 2020 about the same bill. Katrina brings it up to me again in our conversation concerning this bill, that these gallbladders are being taken and sold to certain countries where the bile of the bear is used for a specific type of folk medicine. These poachers are a very real threat to the bears. Katrina worries the bill will make it even easier for the poachers to do what they do.
Right. And what it is, it will let these hunters know that they're not hunters, they're poachers. So it will be so easy for a poacher to, you know, bring a poach a bear, attract a bear with their trash, shoot them, take out the gallbladder, bury the body, and then, you know, report 24 hours later, hey, there's a bear that came up. I was afraid for my life. I shot him, but he ran off. And they don't have to worry about investigation or, you know, they will have this out that they didn't have before. Right now, they're a little leery. Like, they might second guess, like, okay, we need to be a little, you know, a lot sneakier. Right now, we can get in trouble. Like, you know, once those nine poachers were caught, and it was Pam Bondi that made the announcement, and it was a huge deal.
I remember it.
Okay. So imagine having a bill go through that says, okay, you don't have to, you know, 24 hours a day. All you have to do is say, I was in fear for my life.
The poachers having freedom to kill these bears, to use this bill to get around the rules, that is their chief concern. Because the bears already face the same mounting problems that all animals in the modern day, especially in Florida, are facing. Here's Leslie.
Bears were almost, the Florida black bear was almost hunted to extinction in the 70s. And that was before the human population had exploded the way it had.
Right.
So now they're facing decimation from habitat loss. They get hit by cars, development, and yet poaching, and yet that's not enough. We have to have a special law just to let people kill bears. And, you know, the irony is this same legislature approved the Florida Wildlife Corridor, and the Florida black bear is the inspiration and the mascot for the Florida Wildlife Corridor. We've pointed out that so many conservation easements are being put on land and land is being acquired. And the state of Florida is paying a lot of money for that, a lot, millions and millions, maybe a billions when you tally it all up, to save bear habitat. And then they turn around and allow basically open season on bears. I just, you know, it's a lot, as I said before, it's a lot of cognitive dissonance going on. I think the Republicans just vote party line. To his credit, Representative Smith voted no, and a couple of other Republicans voted no. Three total Republicans out of their supermajority. It shouldn't be a Republican-Democrat thing. The bears are a beloved state resident. They're an iconic species. They're already facing enough difficulty just living. And then for the Florida legislature to adopt this kind of bill, it really shows a level of ignorance and stupidity. I hate to say that about the Florida legislature, but they deserve it.
As of right now, the bill isn't law. Governor Ron DeSantis has not signed it yet. They are hoping he'll see the arguments against it and kill the bill.
We're just waiting to see. I hope that Governor DeSantis shows his independence and intelligence. He claims he wants to be the Teddy Roosevelt of Florida. He is proud of his environmental record, and he's done a great job on the wildlife corridor. he's shown commitment to water quality. And this bill will be a black mark on his administration if he signs it or allows it to go into effect.
And if the governor does sign it into law, Bear Warriors United is planning on suing. I will do a bonus episode to fill you in on what would happen then if that happens. What lies ahead for the Black Bears is uncertainty. This conversation revealed to me how frequently they have stared down policies or actions that have put their lives at risk because of a misunderstanding of their nature or that misunderstanding being used as a reason, an excuse. These Black Bears, as mentioned, are the symbol of our Florida Wildlife Corridor, one of this state's greatest creations, a safe space for animals to walk amongst us without fear of human threat. They are perhaps, besides the Florida panther, the best representation of why we need spaces for these animals to exist, to be protected from interacting with us. Our hope should be, our plan should be, to live in peace with these animals. Aldo Leopold, the great conservation writer, he called for harmony between men and land. The folks at Bear Warriors United and all other supporters of ending this bill, they are hoping that the black bears will be allowed to be part of our harmony. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Wait 5 Minutes. I am so glad that you are here. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also find the show on Instagram or Facebook at WFMPod, and you can send me an email at WFMPod@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. I'd like to thank Katrina Shaddix and Leslie Blackner for all of their help in this episode. Getting to talk with them was hugely illuminative and pulled this entire episode together, so thank you to them. I will include a link to their website so you can see more of what they are up to, and I will include so many links to information about this bill, the bears, all of the things we mentioned in this episode, so you can do some research yourself. Go check out Bear Warriors United and read even more about the bill. Thank you to Katrina and Leslie. All the music used in this episode was originally composed. All right, we started this season with a bunch of history, then we did a whole lot of modernity, and guess what? I have got some more history cooking for you. I am really excited about next week. We're going to talk about bunkers, nuclear bunkers from the 1960s, because there are a lot more in Florida than you would realize, and one of them even used to briefly be a tourist destination, and I visited it. So we're going to be talking about that next week. Until then, be good to yourself, be good to others, drink more water, and go Gator and muddy the water. I am very happy to be in April. I hope spring is treating you well. See you next Monday.